I'd like to welcome you to the meeting and thank you all for your attendance. My name is Clay Tuffley. I'm the Vice Chair of the Board, and I'll be starting the meeting this evening. This is the Grand Junction Regional Airport Authority Board meeting for September 21, 2021, and I officially call this meeting to order at 5:15. We have some commissioners here in the room at the airport, as well as some participating virtually. So we'll do a roll call to confirm those in attendance, and I'll start with those in the room. Commissioner Brabeck?
I'm here. Good evening.
Commissioner Marshall?
Aye.
Commissioner Schrader?
Aye.
Commissioner Taggart? Okay, I am here. Commissioner Velarde?
Aye.
And Commissioner Benton is also absent this evening, and we had heard that Commissioner Taggart would most likely not be available, so those are excused. Cameron, will you please announce staff members?
Yes, I'd love to. So in the room, we have Executive Director Angela Padalecki, Director of Finance Sarah Mingy, Director of Facilities Ben Peck, Accounting Coordinator Shayla Flesch, myself, Cameron Reese, as the Contract Administrator and Board Clerk, and then also on the line we have Legal Counsel Dan Reimer and Colin Bible from Carver.
Okay, thank you, Cameron. It looks like we also have Jeremy Lee and that's it, Redroll. Okay. Anyone else on the line that would like to announce themselves? Great. Thank you all for your attendance. Please join me for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. All right. The agenda was posted in advance, and we have a summary of the consent agenda and discussion items on the screen. Staff, do you have any changes that you'd like to make this evening?
No, there will be no operations report, but we don't need to make a formal change in the agenda.
Okay. All right. Commissioners, any items you would like to see changed?
Not for me, and you, Thaddeus, he did announce he was there, right?
Yes.
He did,
okay. Yes. Okay. Can I get a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Thank you.
Second.
Thank you. And we will do a roll call vote. Commissioner Brabeck?
Aye.
Commissioner Marshall?
Aye.
Commissioner Schrader?
Aye.
I am an aye as well. And Commissioner Velarde?
Aye.
Great. Thank you. That passes. Do we want to wait? Thaddeus go at this point?
You just approve the agenda.
Oh, I'm sorry. Not yet, Thaddeus. any commissioner comments?
No comment.
No comments? Okay, great. Any citizen comments, Cameron?
No, Mr. Vice Chairman. We have not received any citizen comments.
All right, great, thank you. Anyone on the phone that would like to make a comment? Great. All right, moving on to the consent agenda. Can I get a motion to approve the consent agenda items, please?
Mr. Vice Chairman, I support that. I will propose a motion to approve the consent agendas A, B, and C.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you both. Any other discussion? All right, great. We'll go through a roll call vote. Commissioner Brabeck?
Aye.
Commissioner Marshall?
Aye.
Commissioner Schrader?
Aye.
Thank you. I am an aye as well. And Commissioner Velarde?
Aye.
Wonderful. All right. Thank you. That is complete. Thaddeus, thank you for your attendance. And we're going to move into the discussion phase. And as long as you can stay, you're welcome, of course. So proposed rates and charges amendments. Sarah and Angela, who would like to start that?
I thought it would be important first, we talked about this, to just kind of orient everyone with the use and lease agreements as a reminder. I know we've spent a lot of time and work and effort on them, but if you'll remember, they are still in holdover. The current leases actually expired in 2010, and so as a result of that, within the lease document, There were changes made by previous administrations from 2011 to 2014 with some adjustments there. In 2017, the board elected a consultant to work on putting together a proposed rate methodology as well as drafting a new utility plan lease agreement. We spent a considerable amount of time on that in 2018 and 2019, including meetings with the airlines. And in January of 2020, we actually had a rate change that was consistent and calculated by that proposed methodology, and that was a 15% increase. With the start of the pandemic, so over the last 2 years, we've kept those rates flat. And now as we go into 2022 with a very different financial outlook than what we had pre-pandemic with the relief funds and grants that we've received, staff are proposing at this time to actually reduce those rates and charges by 5%. We think this will help us with our air service development goals. And honestly, at this point, I think we'd love to re-review and confirm the rate methodology that we had put together before. We have different carrier mix now. We have different passenger numbers and activity levels. So we think this is the time, as we meet with the airlines, we'd like to propose this rate decrease and then pick up negotiations with them. We think this will help be part of that. The next slide, we don't need to spend a lot of time on, but for those of you that are numbers people, what those numbers actually look like from the previous table and the changes over those same time periods. You see some small increases in 2011 through 14. 14 through 19 were held stable. The change there when you see at the bottom, that security fee going away, we also simplified the rates. There are several other charges, but these are the main ones. We rolled those up into a much more summarized rate structure, so we don't have as many fees, and we simplified it. And then the proposed rate 2022 that I'm showing actually reflects that 5% decrease in both landing fees and the joint use space. Boarding bridge actually increased just slightly, but more to be rounded to an even dollar amount for that charge. And just to lay a little bit of groundwork, and I'll turn it over to Angela, how we came up with the 5% was really working backwards from our goal. As we put together our budget this year, we had a target net operating income. And once we had established our expenses and felt comfortable where those were and our activity levels, we looked at different airline rates and what we could do with rates and still achieve those financial goals. So the 5% was really where we landed in order to meet those financial goals. Angela, did you have some more?
Sure. I mean, I want to make sure, too, it's clear while we're talking about this. So we're getting, you know, Shayla and Sarah have been, I think shoulder deep in budget season for a little while now, but for the board, you know, the board's getting ready to really get into deeper budget season, met with Finance and Audit Committee, and really, you know, we wanted to talk about some of those key assumptions and inputs that go into the budget proactively now so that when you get the numbers, they make sense, and frankly, airline rates and charges and activity forecasts, those are main drivers, but the way we came up with this, like Sarah said, is, you know, we really said, okay, how much net operating income do we need to generate in order to feel confident? And we set that target at $1 million, sorry to you know, get ahead of your budget here, but to say, okay, we need to net, worst case scenario, we need to net $1 million a year, because worst case scenario, the runway project moves at a speed of $10 million a year. That's worst case scenario, that's slow. But we need to make sure that we can at least keep up with that. We have adequate cash balances to where we can move a lot faster than that, but just when it comes to financial health, that's what we needed to see to feel comfortable. So kind of working backwards from there, like Sarah said, it's really, what do we need to charge the airlines in order to generate that? And I want to be sensitive to the fact that the tune we're singing now is much different than a few years ago when we were talking about increasing airline rates and charges, but it's because circumstances are different. You know, being able to make the progress we've made, almost $40 million worth of progress on our CIP with FAA without having to pay a match has made a big financial difference, as have some of those relief grants. So we want to make sure that we're doing the right thing, that we're being fair, and that we are balancing the priorities between, you know, moving forward in financial health of the airport and our air service development goals. Any questions or concerns about that?
So,
these are revisited annually too.
Right. So does it look like the fiscal impact would be $49,000? Or is that too pure simple math for that?
Yeah, so I mean, I think if you really think about the fiscal impact, like if we were to hold rates flat again, is that what you're saying? You know, versus reduce them by 5%?
Right, well, it looks like we're going to pull in about 49,000 less a year. Is that more or less a real number on the 5% decrease?
It is 49,000
so
more.
Actually, 49,000 more, yeah.
Oh, yeah, sorry, backwards.
So when you really think about it, it's foregone revenue. So it's 5% of 1.8 million, whatever that is. The other thing is, you know, this represents these forecasts, you know, tie into our budget, which are, I want to be clear, when it comes to our budget and what we forecast for activity levels, we take the mindset of what is that, you know, reasonable activity activity level that we feel confident we can achieve that will generate, you know, basically set the revenue portion of our budget so that we can make sure we can afford the expense side.
Right.
So it looks like we'll land somewhere about 93% of 2019 levels, which is, and we'll show you next month, is extremely conservative because obviously we've been breaking records this summer, but we anticipate our business is going to have more seasonality. The winters, you know, I think, I expect this winter, I hope we'll be at 2019 or pre-pandemic levels, but you know, we might dip below those, but obviously this summer we were way above. So so that's where this $1.8 million number, it represents the revenue that we anticipate generating if we charge rates that are 5% lower than existing.
Right.
And if we have, frankly, you know, less passenger traffic than we had this year.
I think it might also, I mean, the airlines would appreciate, they probably don't see very many places where, hey, let's work together on a fee and whatnot. I think that they always get like, this one, you need to pay this, 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 this. And I think that shows them that we're trying to have a fair business relationship with them. And
I completely agree. They're such important partners.
Right.
They're our customers, they're our partners, and you know, they do help us pay most of our bills.
Right.
But it feels, in every way, it feels like the right thing to do.
Right.
And then just a little more context, too, on that $1.8 million number or so, of that amount, about $1.2 million is represented in rent, which is essentially fixed. The remainder of that is really going to be that variable revenue from your landing fees and other charges. So, again, you know, if our activity comes in higher than what we expect, about 1.2 will remain unchanged. The remainder will flex with activity. And I also thought it was, another good level of context for that too is our 2019 budgeted revenue. It's actually within about 1.5% of what we budgeted for 19.
Right.
Our actuals for 2019 were significantly higher because we had such huge growth. But I thought that was important to note too, that our airline revenue with a little bit lower activity level, but these rates will still get us to basically have the same airline revenue from 2019 that we budgeted. So,
and we're just doing this proactively. You haven't heard from the airlines at all that this would be a lovely thing. We're just
no, but I know that group pretty well from my time in Denver, and they have not. There's a whole team at every airline whose job is to make sure airports don't charge the airlines too much, and they know that airports have gotten a lot of grant revenue, so this will not go missed.
Gotcha.
But we do consult with the airlines, let them know what our projected budget is and airline rates and charges. It's a good practice anyway. We're not obligated under our existing use and lease agreements, but you know, having the airlines engage with the airport is good for everyone. So we're actually meeting with them in a couple of weeks to go over those, and I think that they'll find it refreshing. And frankly, you know, I don't think that we're going to get tons of bonus points. Ultimately, I think it accomplishes a few goals. We remain an airport that they like working with. And we don't end up on their list of airports that they need to fight because the rates and charges are too high. They're not doing the right thing. All of a sudden, network planning, you need to stop growing there because they're ripping us off, you know, whatever. Because an airport our size, frankly, I mean, that's part of it, is making sure that we don't, know, that our role in an airline system doesn't get elevated because we're being jerks.
Well,
there are plenty of those.
Right.
There are plenty of those airports.
Yeah, so.
Right. Well, I think that's a very nice gesture.
Yeah, I love that it's proactive.
Yeah. I got no
Angela and I discussed too, we would much rather talk about it first with this group before we go to the airlines in case your reaction was not that. So we were hoping we would have your support in this, but certainly didn't want to go to the airlines first.
And I think it probably goes without saying, but I want to make sure I mention it just because I think, you know, I've done a wonderful job confusing you on the topic of airline rates and charges over the years. But, you know, the methodology that we've been working towards in the use and lease agreements, you know, it spring up at the end of the year, depending on how much they actually fly, things like that. That's not the methodology we have now. What we have now is fixed rates. So every flight gets charged the dollar, well, right now it's $1.95 and 1,000 pounds landed weight. And so if they send gobs more than we expected in our budget, we still charge them the same rate. You know, we're not going back and trimming up. So I just want to make sure it's clear to commissioners that it's really simple fixed rates. We haven't complicated things, at least not yet.
Okay. And then, Sarah, if I understood you, that second line on that screen, that's the one that is the fixed, right?
That's
the 1.2
million. Exactly. That's what that comes out to with the lease.
Yeah.
Okay. And the way rent, you know, just space leases typically work with airlines is, you know, they can grow incrementally for a while until, you know, it reaches a tipping point and they need to lease another office or things like that. So it operates much more like a fixed expense, but, you know, there's some scalability depending on the size of the operation.
So I'm going to cut in real quick and ask Thaddeus, do you have any questions, Thaddeus?
Thank you, Clay. I actually had a question around whether or not the airlines actually need this. My sense generally is that all these larger businesses are fairly awash in federal assistance right now, and that they're getting quite a bit of funding. And so I'm wondering, are we taking our relatively small kind of rural budget that we're just, you know, every dollar counts, and you know, offering some of that up when it's actually maybe not needed? And maybe the gesture is, hey, instead of raising the rates, we're just going to leave them where they're at for another season, and then we'll talk about it next year. But I don't know for sure whether or not they do. My understanding is that there's a lot of federal assistance money going in, and do we need to help that?
That's a good question, and that certainly played into kind of what, you know, where we landed, if you will, on this, because we don't think that they need tremendous help. And so the point is not to help them. It's really just to help incentivize them to continue to grow in Grand Junction. So it's a fairly small amount to us or to them, but I think that, you know,
right,
it does encourage them to grow, and more than anything, it demonstrates the partnership and who we are as an airport.
I agree.
Right, so it's more about just getting on their radar with a big positive green check mark.
Yes.
Being reasonable to work with, yeah. I agree, Thaddeus. I think they're very financially doing well here, especially.
Right.
But I like the projection of we're reasonable to work with, and I like that approach. And especially since, even with the 5% drop, we're still, well, my math is correct, make projected $49,000 more than before the drop. So, yeah, I like that.
So do I. Thanks.
All right, folks, with that, I'm gonna drop off.
Okay, thanks, Thaddeus.
Thank you so much, Thaddeus.
Thank you guys so much.
Anything else on this topic?
No further questions.
Okay, you have our support.
Yeah,
great.
Yeah. Thanks for bringing it to us.
So, Air Service Incentive Program revisions.
Great. So, I'll be brief on this one because the changes are minimal. You have a red line copy in your packet, but as we mentioned last year when we created for the first time an Air Service Incentive Program, this is intended to be a living, breathing document. It'll be revisited at least annually, we anticipate. This summer, obviously, we cleaned up and simplified some of it because fortunately, we didn't need it, right? So we took that out. But now, as we look to the year ahead, all we really did was clean up the target market. So you see that the market that we currently serve was removed to provide clarity to prospective airlines on which routes are currently served and which ones aren't. We also added Austin. That is due to two reasons. First of all, you know, that's a strong market for us. Texas in general is a strong market for our airport. But it's also because strategically for airlines, Austin is growing. It's growing rapidly, but it's growing strategically for many airlines. So we want to make sure that should an airline want to include us in their growth plans in Austin, then, you know, they are eligible to receive the highest level of incentive from the airport. Last, just a small cleanup rather than having the reference point be 2020. Fortunately, 2020 is over, and we get to look ahead. And so we would like to just use language that's more wanted to just discuss this briefly with you all so that at a future meeting it can go on the consent agenda for action. Any questions, concerns?
Nope. That's good.
Great.
See. Delegation of authority as it relates to budgeting, purchasing, and procurement.
This one is me as well. So as Angela mentioned, just as part of the budget process and really reviewing delegations, our delegation of authority resolution also was the document we intended to revisit on an annual basis. We thought this was a good time to take a look at it as we're coming up to year end and start talking through changes we may want to make. As we reviewed those, the main recommendation that we wanted to discuss with the board is expanding some of the delegated authority that already exists today within the purchasing and procurement resolution to actually include some additional items. So currently, within our procurement policy, purchasing and procurement document, the delegation is already given to Angela to approve and authorize the security guard expenses based on their actual activity. Those exceed $10,000 on a monthly basis, but they're regular, they're recurring, and they're really an extension of staff. The other items that have been included is employee compensation. As part of the budget, we do prepare an FTE number and budgeted expenses by line item, but authority has been delegated to her within the documents to determine how those are allocated, how rates are set. And then utilities and bulk fuel are also along those lines. They exceed $10,000 on a monthly basis, but they're regular and recurring. Some other items that have come up that we've kind of run into more of like just an administrative efficiency issue with is legal fees. We have made some changes to this in the procurement policy since I started, but really at one point, I think really after the FBI investigation, when the board was acting as the executive director, there was not a director, all legal expenses were reviewed by the board.
Yeah.
That continued on after a director was brought into place, and then we modified it based on some smaller dollar amounts. But we'd like to discuss the concept of reverting this back to, as long as it's regular recurring legal advice that fits within our annual budget, of allowing staff to go ahead and authorize those, so we're not holding up kind of just that administrative process of paying those. It's just an additional administrative time for us. And that's similar also to some of our professional planning and engineering and our CIP manager. We have run procurements on those and made a competitive selection of those firms. We have an annual budgeted amount for those specific tasks. And it really is that extension of staff. And so we wanted to talk with the board about the concept of delegating authority to Angela within that annual budget limit that we set as part of the budget to authorize tasks or task orders or approve expenditures up to that amount without having to first write a scope that comes to the board for approval before we can incur those. One example too of kind of the expediency that would have been helpful there was the design from Stan Stoll's firm to do the stair replacement project. That's held us up, and now we're looking at maybe a winter construction season with concrete because we didn't have the ability to authorize that up front. And so those are the kinds of things that we would like to just discuss that concept with you all and see how you felt about that concept. We could change some reporting on a monthly basis if there's any concern about, you know, the level of detail within our budget to actual, but I know Shayla and I kind of overload you with details as well anyway. So that's the concept and just the discussion we wanted to start and see kind of what thoughts, concerns, or questions you might have.
Would any of those recommended additions have like a cap dollar amount where then it would go to the board if it was above a certain amount?
Yes, so that's a good point that I didn't include. Within the purchasing and procurement policy, each of these has a cap amount of if like utilities is approved, but if it exceeds a certain amount, then it will go to the board for approval. So that is the intent, is the $10,000 I think we all recognize in the statute is fairly low. We have that on our radar to update. So this would allow us to authorize some expenditures in excess of 10, still within some limit that we could set. And we could talk about that on an individual basis or a group basis, whatever you're comfortable with.
Personally, I would prefer to see the legal fees and the bills because I learn a lot from that. But that's just me. And obviously I speak for myself only, but I enjoy going through that. that's just me.
I personally think that we're paying the executive director a lot of money to make those decisions, and we've had this discussion ever since I've been on the board about the delegation of to the executive director, and I've always thought, I mean, if we don't have faith in our executive director, then we need a new executive director. I mean, so I don't have a problem with this myself. We've had this discussion before, and I know there have been other board members that have had issues with that. And I don't know if it goes back to the FBI thing. And you know what? That's in the past. We need to get over that.
Right.
And, you know, if we see there's some problems, then we deal with them. But until then, I have no issue with this myself. So that's my opinion.
I'm comfortable with it too. I would just ask you all to tell us what the cap should be on each of these, based on, you know, what's normal and what seems like a rarity and somewhere you recommend for us to pay attention to. But again, I'm with Ron. I trust all of you because you do an excellent job all the time. You've proven yourself trustworthy, so I'm very comfortable with that.
Yeah, I think anything within the ordinary course of business, if something's extraordinary, then we would expect it to come here. And I think above a certain number, maybe it's a ratification as opposed to an approval so that you can still get it done, mm-hmm. and then we ratify it at the board, mm-hmm. understanding that it's gone, but you know, if it was an ordinary $50,000 bill that we all know has to be paid, then it needs to get paid and we ratify it. So
right.
that would be an idea on that. And I think we probably need to talk to Chair Benton and to Commissioner Taggart and just make sure, because they had a little more involvement maybe than some of us
better.
Did.
Right.
But I would think they would be down that road as well. So.
And the ratification process is interesting because that would satisfy Erling's interest in like understanding
some
process.
Of the ones.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Just for the record, it's nothing new with I don't trust you.
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
that at all.
Yeah.
Well, maybe
I just learn from it. I see what's being covered and whatnot.
Yeah,
that's
maybe
all.
It's a different way to get that kind of information out too, as opposed to restricting the payments.
I don't think there's ever been, I think ex-vice chair McDaniel one time had a number ratified for an attorney, the old attorney firm we used, but in all the time I've been here, I don't think anybody has really needed or said anything about any fees or anything,
yeah.
not that there's need either.
Well, that's where, you know, we internally, just like the contractors, you know, we thoroughly review those invoices and
right.
you know, make sure that it's right before we're comfortable
right,
paying,
right.
paying it. So, you know, it's just the processes that it comes to you all. And,
right.
You know, this in part came about because, you know, well, certainly it is more expensive from a time perspective, right, on staff time to handle things the way we have and, you know, prepare for board meetings to have you approve a task order for, you know, a contractor we're using instead of a staff person, right? And, you know, and our operating budget, which you approved, and all that takes time, but it's also just more philosophically. I approve all of our personnel expenses, right, all the time. And so if we're using a contractor instead, you know, more philosophically, it's like, well, what's the difference? Like, you're approving it in a budget, we're transparent in the budget about what we're going to use staff for versus contract out. And so, it just, that's really kind of how it came about, and why we're like, you know what, this is really reasonable, this feels like probably leftover policy from a time when there was less trust, and so we wanted to talk to you about it.
Well, I can't imagine that we're all super responsive to. I mean, I know sometimes I'll need to get pinged twice to sign Dan's bill.
Just twice?
And Dan,
I'm
support you fully, I apologize
on
that, and I think that would have helped to see our contractors all get paid in a timely way.
I'm sure I have one out there now, probably.
Not two.
At least it's not me.
To discuss this and present it. I don't know.
Right. And,
but
and true.
Where, you know, when you see what the recommended additions are, what you see is our extension of staff, right? And we're only talking about expenses that are from our operating budget, so not our capital expenses, because those,
yes.
those are part of broader projects and things, and I absolutely think it makes sense for the board to be approving the CIP.
Right.
Well, I think it'll be an interesting discussion with the full board, I
right.
can tell you right now.
Sorry,
and
we were planning on more of a full board presentation tonight, but
and I'd be perfectly fine with not needing to sign it. I would just like to see it is what I was leaning towards. I don't need to sign or approve any of it, really. It's just, I just like to see him. I enjoy it. I learn from him, so.
Well, that's where I will say, too, it does create more work having commissioners see them, especially when it comes to employment attorney work, because confidentiality is critical, right? And, you know, personnel is not part of the scope of the board. And so
right.
we have to make sure that we're really scrubbing those to ensure that there's not information on those invoices that commissioners are seeing that violate privacy of our employees.
Right. Well, the little notes you put in, I think, are very good. Currently, they show very brief and concise what it is about, and that gives us an idea, me an idea.
That's all, Dan, though. Thanks,
right.
Dan.
Yeah. I mean, something like that, to me, I'd love to see that. What is currently, I'm just not signing. You guys can have it. I trust you guys. It's not a matter of that. I just like to see those little notes, but that's just me.
And I think that's a great point. This will have to come back to the full board. And then we also have some logistics with Dan to work out. I think with the delegation of authority resolution that we passed in March, that hadn't really been done since, I believe, 2014, we ended up doubling up a couple things that were already in our budget resolution and then purchasing. So I think that will be part of the conversation we want to start here as well, is the logistics and the specifics of where those delegations land. We don't want them overlapping in too many places. We want to make sure they're sitting in the right places as well. So that'll be part of this as we approach those year-end authorizations resolutions. We'll want to make sure those are not duplicated and are consistent across all the different places. So.
Right. And then part of me also just wonders, in the staff reports, to satisfy Erling's curiosity and love of learning, I wonder if we just can't pop Dan in there and he could do a summary when appropriate. I know he already does that, but maybe that would be the right way to address that.
We could even do like a quarterly check-in on where we're at with our staff augmentation contracts or something like that, so that you can see, you know, kind of spend to date, something like that.
I love that.
So.
Thank you.
Although, I mean, I think Erling's talking about like his little notes, and he's like, "Ooh, I didn't know that was an issue."
It's when sometimes I feel that I'm sometimes removed from all the, well, being interface plugged into the matrix of the doings of the authority staff and what's going on, and I actually feel like reading these little things. It's kind of a back alley into what's really going on the staff, and that's the part I enjoy reading, because it says right there this is what we've been discussing, because I'm very comfortable that nothing gets done unless Dan blesses it, so it's usually in his notes. And it's a good way for me to oh, yeah, I don't remember we talked about that, but then I'll talk to Benton about it or something. So that's just me. I'm kind of weird that way.
Okay.
Thanks.
Any other discussion on that?
No further questions.
Great. Thank you, sir. Staff reports. Angela.
Off. So first, you know, great news. We got today the official award. You know, we got the announcement late last week that we have a $15.7 million grant from the FAA, end of the year grant. So it's 100% funding. So that one, you know, saves us over $1.5 million. We anticipate it's enough to fund all three schedules that were bid out this summer for the beginning of the true runway construction. So about 3 million cubic yards of dirt out there. I mean, this is over a year's worth of construction. So we are so excited. And again, thank you to the board for all the work you did to make that happen, including and especially the pre-authorization of the last meeting to have Tom sign. Our city and county partners did the same thing, which is why we can get this signed so fast, because the turnaround time is just a couple of days. So really excited about that, and Sarah will report more on kind of details of where we're at in grants overall. It's like, wait, how much money did we bring in then? Where are we at? It's, you know, I always have this question, so she'll report more on those details, but really excited. Second, wanted to let commissioners know that the airport development plan work is underway, and we, you know, just more of the technical work, you know, they're really working away, the services team. Really looking forward to the workshop on October 5th. That's the visioning workshop with the board. We really would like to have full postponed this a couple of times, but really excited because that way it'll ensure that we're all on the same page with what the vision for that is. And, you know, I think Brian can help manage expectations of what this plan will and won't be, right? He's really good about that. Really excited to just start, you know, really answering some of those burning questions and really just figure out, okay, how and where do we start developing the airport more? Because the runway project is great, but that represents maintenance of the airport. And we really want to be, you know, moving into the future where we're growing and developing the airport. So just touching base briefly on that. And then last, well, I guess we'll all get into activities slides, but this is our really busy season with airline network planning teams typically. I say typically because typically right now they're planning for summer of next year. Right now they're trying to figure out what they think is going to happen in early winter. So we're still on a pretty short timeline. I'll talk a little bit more about that, but I will be traveling quite a bit to visit with all the airlines who operate here, plus many of those we wish operated here in the month or two to come. So excited to hear what they have to say and see, you know, what our future could look like. Of course, San Francisco is on our minds and using that grant. So we're really hoping that'll look attractive in the spring. But, you know, the Delta variant has caused quite a bit of disruption in air travel, especially advanced bookings. So that's a good segue into the slides I have. So summer 2021 was Grand Junction's busiest ever by a lot. So in August, we again broke the record for busiest month. So August was our busiest month. Before that, it was July. Before that, it was June. Before that, it was October 2019, right? So every month this summer, we broke records. August is not typically busier than July because you start to see leisure travel level off. And actually, business travel tends to be weaker the second half of August, too, because, you know, for all of us who are parents, right, like, it's chaotic. You have to, like, be at school all the time. Like, you have to be around, right? You're not in a flow yet. So we were shocked, frankly, but really excited. Sarah has some more specifics on that. But, you know, what it means is overall this summer, we saw an extra 25,000 people come through the airport. And that's a lot. And 16% more than summer of 2019, which was at that point our busiest summer ever. So we're really excited, and as we look forward to those conversations with airlines, I mean, that is such a nice position for us to be in, right? Is, hey, look what we did this summer, and, you know, and wait, there's more. But it's not just passengers, total operations are way up too. Everything is busier at the airport than it was pre-pandemic, frankly. So really excited. Next slide.
And summer is June, July, August.
Yes, we were just looking June, July, August, yeah. Right? Just those 3 months, because it doesn't line up nicely into a quarter, but, you know, it's a nice 3 month period that has some consistency. I will say Memorial Day was late this year compared to most. And so a lot of we got half the Memorial Day traffic in June, whereas, you know, typically that's in May. So, like, that, of course, counts for a little bit in June. And, you know, that's probably, frankly, why June was so busy, even though it was a 30-day month. But, like, that's, like, detailed seasonality stuff, right? Like, it was busy all summer. And the nice thing is it got busier. The planes were fuller as the summer went on. And that's exactly the pattern the airlines want to see. The other thing that's really great is, you know, you may be hearing on the news, you're hearing from me now, that ultimately a lot fewer people, travel is falling off fast, right? So that's really common this time of year anyway, to have leisure travel fall off, but typically you have business travel filling that because business travel is heavy in advance of the holidays, right? Everyone wants to be home. Business travel isn't back nationally, but here in Grand Junction, we're not seeing those trends or those patterns. So it's just as busy. I mean, a few days a week, we still have 2,000 passengers a day come through the airport. And so what you see up here, is on the top, you see Grand Junction. This is our average 7-day throughput per scheduled seat. So it's the number of passengers or people going through the TSA checkpoint divided by the number of seats coming into the market. So it's an estimate of load factor. And you can see that ours is actually going up while the rest of the country has been going down nationally. Ours is going up slightly simply because there's fewer flights than there were just a few weeks ago. That's normal seasonal pattern, right? But it's because we have the same number of passengers but fewer flights. So really good trend. We hope that trend continues. We're very skeptical that that will completely continue. And at a minimum, we're skeptical that we'll continue to see the same number of passengers coming through, just because, if for no other reason, even if Grand Junction stays normal, or as it is right now, the airlines are massively reducing the amount of flights they have system-wide. So American cut about 20% of their scheduled seats for November, for example. You know, they barely cut anything into and out of Grand Junction. They did cut a little bit. But, you know, you think about it, if there are fewer flights coming into and out of the hubs, eventually that catches up to us. Even if it's just they are going to cut a whole bank of flights in the day, like, well, then you're going to lose a flight a day. So that's what we're seeing. And, you know, in numbers for those who like charts, what you see in October is everyone is at or slightly above the number of flights that they had in 2019. So every route. And that's exactly where we hoped we would be. So we're really happy with where things are. You know, I do anticipate that, you know, as we head into especially the valley season in the winter, January here is rough. People do not travel a lot anyway. And the people who are traveling are business travelers. So I anticipate January is going to be down compared to pre-pandemic levels and probably down in terms of number of flights. But so far, the signs we're seeing are all good ones that, you know, we aren't going to go back to 2020.
Are we thinking United is going to keep their 5 flights?
That's the way it's looking. I mean, United, you know, certainly can make changes, but we've seen them every week making changes system-wide and out of their Denver hub. And, you know, initially we had 6 flights a day scheduled in November. They trimmed it down to 5, but that wasn't surprising. They've been trimming the other routes a lot, and we're still at 5. And so, you know, we feel confident that barring, like, a major contraction in that hub, where they're making the hub activity a lot smaller, then we'll keep the 5. I mean, there could be days of the week where it drops below that, but it's looking pretty good.
Wow.
I don't fly to Denver very often, but it was so nice to fly out of B. I think it's the B terminal instead of the A terminal on the end.
Yes.
I mean, it's
okay.
Like, we're not second-class citizens anymore. We get to go out of the real door.
And that's, just so we know, so you guys know, future state, right, what they're working towards is this November, and I think it's still on schedule, they're supposed to have a lot of their new gates on B. So Concourse B is United only at Denver, right? And so they use A as overflow and as swing spots as they've, you know, taken out the shipping containers that used to be, like, you know, gates on that east end of Concourse B, and instead moved down to the east end of Concourse A. You know, that was just so they could take that out, build new gates, and maintain a strong schedule.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, in the next 6 months, we're going to I anticipate that we'll see the customer experience for Grand Junction customers connecting in Denver improve dramatically.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's great.
Okay. And as mentioned, you know, the airline's really concerned about demand late fall and winter. So we're seeing them cut schedules. We're also seeing them experiment a lot in potential leisure markets. And I think that will continue, I think, as long as the pandemic persists, because, you know, it's trying to figure out where do people actually want to go. We know that they are going to go somewhere. That's something we've learned in this pandemic. Where are they going to go? Are they going to ski? I don't know. Are the ski resorts going to be open? So we might see some experimentation and some weird things, but it'll be interesting to watch. You know, I think the most recent announcement that's relevant here is that United announced they would serve Orange County to Aspen this winter. And when you think about it, like, those two markets do seem compatible, right? Like, it seems, you know, Orange County and Aspen, you know, you could be trading people pretty easily. And, you know, that's a dense population center that you can bring up to Aspen to ski. Any questions overall on kind of forward-looking stuff for airlines? Sarah is going to cover more of the activity and what we're seeing.
Nope. Good. Sarah?
So what that looks like for us financially and as it relates to budget, the kind of exciting thing that we had this month is with those record months and that really higher than expected activity, we actually met our annual budget that we put together for both passengers, in-plane passengers and commercial landings. We do plan to present the new forecast with the budget in October, and we put that out there, and so our variance comparisons will no longer be the budget, since we have already met that activity level as far as passengers go. And just year to date, so everyone knows where we're sitting, we're only about 7.5% behind 2019 year to date through August. So these last three record months have made up for even the 40% decline that we still had in January. And when we look at load factors, Angela alluded to that earlier, we are seeing strong load factors here across all of our airlines. If you just take total seats that came into the market and total enplanements, it averaged out to 80% load factor in August. We're curious with, you know, Frontier improved this month and United, if that was a little bit driven by the closures on I-70, that could have had part of it, but just really excited to see that huge improvement from January where we started up to August, which is now ahead of 2019 load factors and enplanements. So.
Yeah, I think this is the first time since the pandemic hit where our load factors were higher than pre-pandemic and our total passengers and seats in the market were higher, right? So, we've had higher seats, right? We've had higher passengers. The ratio of butts in seats, right, has not been better than pre-pandemic until right now.
Which is really impressive, too, with that. I think it was an 18% increase in capacity, too, which we've talked about that. When we have those big increases in the number of seats, it is harder to fill them, but there's definitely butts in seats, I guess, if you would.
The formal.
Easy to understand.
So as far as grant awards, I know Angela mentioned this earlier, with the announcement on Friday of the $15.7 million that we were awarded, this is just a two-year look back. I want to point that out. But for 2020 and 2021, we're right under $50 million in total grants awarded. What that's made up of is $37.3 million in AIP grants for construction projects, which that does include our match that was waived, the operating relief and concession relief grants, so our CARES, the ARPA that's been announced, but we don't have that yet, and the coronavirus relief program is about 11.4, and then SCASD and then the CDOT grant that they also awarded to us is about 1.2. And included in the $37 million, as Angela mentioned, is savings to the airport of about $3.7 million if we had been awarded those AIP projects in a normal year. So this is really, exciting for us. I think when we look back 5 years, it's close to $70 million. And I will put together some additional summaries for you guys as far as runway program. I'd like to work on that with Colin as far as what we've accomplished so far on the runway program, what our upcoming CIP looks like to get that to completion, and what we anticipate kind of long-term for grants, but I thought this was a really good two-year snapshot and some good talking points as the grant was just announced.
Yeah, as we were looking and like playing with numbers, so, in the last 10 years, we've been awarded about $70 million in grants, right? And 80% of that has been in the last 5 years. Over 50% of it has actually been in the last 2 years, right? So, and in the last 2 years, as we know, we didn't have to pay our match. So it's just, it's remarkable. And you'll see this show up in our budget discussions as well, because it puts us in a much better financial position. So that as we complete this airport development plan, we want to start developing, we might actually have a little bit of money to develop and take action. And we're pretty excited about that.
And as we look at our August 2021 activity projected, we have a couple of estimates in here still, I believe. We are ahead of our budget by $243,000 for the month. We have not met our annual revenue goal yet, although we did hit activity levels, again, because, such a good percentage of our revenue is fixed. We're not yet to our budgeted revenue for the year, but we are exceeding prior year budget, and then we also exceeded 2019 revenue for the same period last year as well. The only areas that you do see some red as far as the budget variance are the decline in the terminal rent, which really has to do with those incentives and the incentive program that we offered, which is being certainly offset by our other per passenger revenues, and then a little bit of a decline in the fuel flowage fees and sales. we're not seeing quite the amount of purchases that we were anticipating. We're also well behind prior year, really, because of that fire activity. That one has a little bit of flux and variance. The number of operations sometimes could be smaller planes that are buying less fuel, so we do see a little bit more variance in that throughout the year. But overall, performing really strong. For August 2021, we did have individual payments, over $100,000. Really, the two main ones going out was $3 million to United and ESCO. Again, thanks to Colin, I know he's been working to help us kind of smooth this out, having multiple payments. We do anticipate we've hit the peak of those cash outflows for the construction season. We certainly still have projects and payments remaining, but this was probably one of the biggest ones that we will have this year. And then within your packet, just to highlight a couple of things, I wanted to reiterate that too, with that kind of peak construction season, we saw our capital accounts receivable, our grants receivable reach $8.2 million, and the accounts payable at a 6.7. And that really is a reflection of timing of when those projects are occurring. We've continued to have really prompt payment from the FAA, even with our change in, we have a new contact there. Shayla and I have also been working on some cross-training, so we have a backup in that as we are administering those $50 million in grants. We have multiple people that are able to bring those in. So that's been something we've been working on our team. Just wanted to highlight that. And then, again, this is through July. This was in your packet, but we are net ahead about $1.1 million for the year, and that's really attributable mostly to those higher-than-expected operating revenues. I did want to point out, too, the number of grants that we've been awarded to date and the activity that we're seeing. It is possible and maybe even likely that we will need to do a budget amendment as we've been awarded. Really, I think it's three projects that we didn't originally have anticipated with the CDOT design for 422, our airport development plan, as well as this most recent grant award. We did not have those planned and budgeted, and then just some differences in other project costs. So we may need to come to the board with a budget amendment to make sure that we're authorized to expend those on those projects. At this point, budget amendments are not related to operating. We have some categories that are higher and some that are under, but we do think we'll need to look at that with our projects because we've been so fortunate with grants, really. And that is the extent of my report for you this evening, unless anybody had any questions for me and Shayla on the packet or what we presented.
You guys remind me the 2022 budget process. When does that begin for commissioners, and when does it finalize for commissioners?
That's a good question. Sorry, I had that last time, and I should have rolled that one forward. We met last week with the Finance and Audit Committee and really went through on a more detailed level with them, kind of all of the assumptions and everything, worked through questions that they had so we could make a few changes and tweaks before we submit it to the full board. So we'll be presenting at the October 5th meeting. High level, we'll be giving a first presentation, and we'll send out documents in advance of that as well that has all the budget detail on it. And then we'll actually have our public hearing and really discussion time on that at the October,
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so at the workshop, because we're doing the visioning session plus, you know, you will have just gotten the documents. It'll be the official posting, but the discussion, the board discussion, if you will, is planned to be during that October meeting.
And then that will give us an opportunity between October and then the regular November meeting is what we would like to plan for final approval. We have until December to do that final approval should we need it, if there's more adjustments needed, but we think that month should give us enough time from commissioner questions and comments or citizen comments in October to get it finished. So,
and for planning purposes, we really try to avoid planning critical approvals in December just because we can run into quorum issues pretty easily within the December.
Yeah. Great. Thank you, sir. So no operations report, correct?
Sure. No, we are in the middle of our big inspection, and so Dylan is working day and night on that. And yeah, there's so much construction stuff going on. So no, I'm sure there'll be plenty to report next month. But right now, it's the work that we will report next month that's going on.
Okay, sounds good. Ben, facilities.
All right. I can't. Oh, sure. I can't. cannot compete with Dylan. He's got things torn up and being placed out there.
He's scattered all around.
If you would have been here yesterday, the west side of the airport was where the activity was going on. We were finishing the erection of the canopy over there to run up our fuel site. But adjacent to that, Dylan was getting the glycol recovery tank installed, so we had a crane going on out there. We had ramp work going on. The west side was pretty cool. It's an interesting time to be here. But yeah, going into the SCI projects at fuel site canopy, you can see up there, already being well used and appreciated by the rental car folks. Everything's installed. We were waiting for a fastener inspection today. There'll be one more concrete pour, and then I'll paint the red iron sometime early next week, is my understanding. So that's moving along nicely. The other thing that SCI is buttoning up is the fire detection system upgrade at the air traffic control tower. If you remember, tasked them with upgrading that. It was installed when they modernized the building in '96. We were having a lot of problems with it. There was no local support for that system. So the majority of the control tower is done. We did get, we were trying to replace light for light. This is the system that's in. We want to replace it with this. Well, apparently the authorities having jurisdiction said, you know, one thing that's not covered is the old RF apparatus base that are attached to the tower. So they said, we want to see fire detection in there. So it's, the tower's done with the exception of that. So we've had to add that into the scope. So hopefully here next month, I'll be able to say we're completed. And next, Cameron. Looking at the terminal drainage project, when you walked in today, you see we've kind of got a mess on the curbside. One of the things that the Knott Laboratories report said is we need to, you know, do something with the water that's shedding off the roofs of the terminal building. It was great that they would drain into planters when we had lush green plants out front, but the water was leaking out of those planters, and we're believing causing that movement on that side of the terminal building. So as you would recall, we had asked the board here several months ago for authorization to buy some trench drain material. So I'm happy to say my staff's doing everything but the saw cutting. They're actually putting in the trench drains out there, pouring the concrete back. So we've got one of about seven trench drains installed that's at the far east side of the building. Our goal is to capture all that water coming off the building and anything under that canopy and give it to the curb. That's it. And then the last thing to really touch on is the terminal painting. As you recall, last board meeting, we asked for authorization to spend money to paint out front. We're missing green out there, not necessarily a bad thing. We had many shades of green on many beams. So it's all like an urbane bronzing. It's not popping out at you. We have new arrival and departure lettering ordered for out there. It was one of those things we had done in about 2015, and it's interesting because you hear passengers say, oh, I'm at the arrival doors or departure doors, and it's actually used quite a bit by those traveling. So,
yeah. Well, I have to say, I drove up last week to pick up my 94-year-old grandma who was traveling by herself, and I noticed right away how good it looked, all the way from the roundabout, and then pulling up, I was like, wow, and then today walking up and in, I thought, this place looks sharp.
You'll recall, you know, last month we started, much like the city, trying to combat the bugs and stuff that are impacting our trees. We were losing some trees out there, but staff's done a pretty good job of getting with the cooperative extension, getting the right chemicals and applying them to the trees. So minus the trees that look a little sad, yeah.
Didn't even notice them. I was looking at the
plant. So that's just a really quick and
Ben's team aims to, and I quote, you know, the supervisor out there, make this place look like Disneyland. So, like, you'll never hear them say, oh, doesn't it look perfect? It's like, you know, that compliment is so nice.
It's like,
know,
we have a really
like,
long list.
Yeah, but you didn't notice all the bad stuff?
No,
it looks so good. Thank you.
It's kind of like the wall that they've been doing next to that building we tore down. Today they were out, you know, planting new shrubs and bushes. And if you ever get a chance and you get some extra time to kill while you're here, just take that sidewalk to the east of it. It's really turning out nice. But I'll keep it short. Any questions on the buildings and ground side?
I just had a quick Did we ever replace that under-rotating beacon on the tower, or was that something in the future?
So that's something in the future. So
right.
The FAA has agreed to include that as part of our AIP
right.
Program, right, at an appropriate time. So I think they tucked it in there with some electrical work on the runway program. But actually, we were just talking about this today, Paul and I, you know, talking about where the coming of that actually makes sense, because, you know, it's a little bit like replacing a street light when you're upgrading the lighting inside your house or something, right? You're like, and they're both electrical, but not really related. So, you know, trying to move that up maybe even next year, but that
right.
hasn't happened yet.
Right, I was just curious.
Yeah, we've talked about even trying to package some other stuff in there.
Right.
The SCI MEP plan that we got, there's two rooftop units on top of that control tower that are, they were there before I started here 28 years ago. So they're really good units. We can still keep putting bandages on them. They're kind of like a secondary backup to the tower. But if we can replace those at the same time we do that rotating beacon, it's just less intrusive to the
right.
controllers.
So it hasn't been done yet, but it's top of mind.
Yeah.
I was just curious.
Yeah.
You'll probably see the tower come up quite a bit in the near future.
Yeah, but you know, as soon as we get that project going, the next question is going to be, where's that going? There's a lot of people who are interested in that beacon. Where
yes.
is that thing going?
There is.
So.
There is.
Any other questions for Ben?
No, sir.
Thanks, Ben. Good job.
Colin, project report.
Hey, good evening.
Good evening.
So, as previously mentioned, we've been tearing your airfield up all summer long with two projects. The good news is we're at the end of those. By the time we meet again, we'll be basically done with both of them. But the even better news is the grant Angela mentioned earlier is going to let us start on the runway project. So I'll be pretty brief, but first, run-up pad and west apron. The run-up pad portion is complete, and the west apron portion is scheduled to be completed on the 27th, so next week. Here's a picture from actually this morning. It's really the last concrete pour. They've got to do some cleanup. We're doing a walkthrough tomorrow to punch out the project and get a punch list and give them kind of their last items to repair. And then there'll be some sealing that's performed in that magenta colored area. And then that'll conclude the west apron. And then taxiway alpha rehabilitation and runway 1129. The taxiway alpha portion has been completed. The runway 1129 seal coating and taxiway seal coating is currently ongoing. That is being performed every night from 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. and that's scheduled to continue through September 30th. The closure portion will end on the 28th, and then there'll be two nights at the end where we do that intersection work where we displace the threshold. Also, I think it's worth noting that part of the reason Dylan's not here is because we keep him up so late, helping keep this going. So if he was here, I'd tell him thanks for him and his team doing such a good job of keeping everything moving. They've been a big help to making this be able to be completed on time and be successful. And now the more exciting news is the grant that Angela discussed earlier. Everybody's heard a lot about this all summer. Mead and Hunt hurried up to get us in a position to be able to bid this project and get grants. We're able to catch those grants. In the next, now that we know that we have this funding, we are able to now reach out to the contractors. We just found out today, so that process is going to take a little bit of time. We're going to target next month to come to the board with contracts, but in all reality, it may be November, but in the next month or two, we'll be back with contracts in hand to start talking about moving forward and start dates. The final update is runway 422 rehab project. All the field work's done. We're currently working on design, and we turn in a engineering design report in 2 weeks to start that process. So we are planning on having that done by basically the early part of the spring. And we're going to just have signed plans ready to take the bid so that whenever that CDOT funding does become available, we're ready to capture it. It is currently programmed for 2024, but I think we've talked about it in previous board meetings. We're really hopeful that because things are going so well overall in the industry, and fuel is back, fuel sales are back, which is what CDOT's budget's based off of, that we may have an opportunity to fund that a little bit earlier. So we're going to work hard to get that positioned as well. And that's all I've got.
Great. Thank you. Any questions for Colin?
Colin, this is Erling. Am I correct in assuming that we all passed the structural testing on the west apron then?
Well, that's a great question. Yes, sir, we sure have. We've got a few more left. You could see in that picture earlier, there was some concrete that had just been placed. So that concrete, I think that small area was placed two nights ago. So we won't have those results for 26 more days. But so far, everything's passed. And, in the very worst catastrophic case, that's a very isolated portion of work. And it's actually pretty far out of the way of major operations. So, we're as in the clear as we can be. So
that is great.
Yeah, I agree.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Anything else for Colin? Okay. We didn't get to hear from Jeremy, Brad, but thank you for being out there. Do you have anything, Jeremy? Might not be thinking of.
No, thank you. I think Colin covered it pretty well.
I didn't want you to not get to speak. You've been out there all day, so. And we didn't.
We're excited about the funding too.
Okay, great. Thank you. Dan, we didn't get to you either, but thank you for being here. And I guess when we don't have any action items, there's a little less discussion to drag you into. But anything else for today? No? All right. Can I get a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Because we don't have a quorum, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you all. We appreciate it. Have a good night.
Good things.
You did good.
What time is it? How did we do?
All good things.
Oh.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
I'll keep it.